Hello, this is Anvati. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Wednesday, May 28th. And coming up in today's episode, Supreme Court pulls up DDA over tree felling and orders afforestation. Kamal Hassan's Kannada remark draws Siddaramaiah's ire. Anna University sexual assault accused found guilty on all 11 charges. And United States announces stricter visa vetting for international students. The Delhi Development Authority's continued tree felling counts as a contemptuous act, the Supreme Court decided today, and ordered them to do some compensatory afforestation. For background, the top court held DDA guilty of contempt of court in a case pertaining to tree felling in the Ridge area for a road widening project, which would then allow seamless transportation to the CAP-FIMS hospital. A bench of Justices Surya Kant, who is next in line to be the Chief Justice of India, and N.K. Singh said the deforestation revealed a troubling pattern of institutional missteps and administrative overreach. Quote, permission was not obtained, orders were ignored, and environmental damage was inflicted, unquote, Justice Kant said. However, the bench acknowledged the need for tree felling. The bench remarked that healthcare facilities for paramilitary personnel are not a luxury but a necessity. Quote, ensuring access to quality medical care is not a privilege but a necessity, adding that such individuals often remain voiceless. The trees were cut as a part of a road widening project linked to a hospital for Central Armed Police Forces personnel. The court acknowledged the intent behind the project but emphasized the need for environmental oversight. The bench has ordered the creation of a three-member committee to supervise replantation efforts in the Ridge area, which was a very green area of the capital, and ensure dense tree cover along both sides of the approach road. Additionally, a fine of Rs 25,000 was levied on officials involved in the case. The Supreme Court directed that all future orders and notifications related to afforestation, tree felling, road construction, or activities with environmental consequences must clearly state if related proceedings are ongoing in the top court. This step, the judges said, is necessary to prevent ignorance being used as a defense. That being said, in October 2023, Delhi Lieutenant Governor V.K. Saxena filed a personal affidavit after the court questioned the legality of the tree felling. Mr. Saxena, who also chairs DDA, told the court he was unaware that the court's permission was required. The court had specifically asked him to provide details of his site visit on February 3rd and explain what actions had been taken to fix responsibility. Mr. Saxena confirmed that during his visit, he was shown the hospital site and later stopped at the road widening location. However, no official informed him that the cutting of trees needed the court's approval. In his affidavit, Mr. Saxena stated he only became aware of the court's requirement on 21st of March when DDA submitted a formal application seeking his permission. Tamil actor and politician Kamal Hassan's remark on language have prompted a sharp response from Karnataka Chief Minister Siddaramaiah. The controversy centers on Hassan's recent statement suggesting Kannada was born out of Tamil. This was made during a public event in Chennai. Reacting to the comment, Chief Minister Siddaramaiah said, quote, Kannada has a long-standing history, poor Kamal Hassan, he's unaware of it, unquote. The remark has been widely criticized by pro-Kannada groups and political leaders in Karnataka. The statement was made during an event promoting Hassan's upcoming film, Thug Life. Scheduled for release on 5th of June, Hassan, founder of the Makkal Nidhi Mayam, MNM, said in Tamil, and I quote, your language, Kannada, was born out of Tamil, so you too are included, unquote, while referring to the presence of Kannada actor Shivaraj Kumar at the event. BJP's Karnataka chief Vijayendra Yediyurappa condemned Hassan's statement and called it uncultured behavior and the height of ignorance. He said, and I'm quoting, an actor who has acted in many Indian languages, including Kannada, must show respect. He has insulted Kannada and Kannadigas. Mr. Yediyurappa also accused Hassan of forgetting the support given to him by Karnataka's film industry and audiences, saying the actor-turned-politician has shown ingratitude. Pravin Shetty, leader of Pro Kannada outfit Karnataka Rakshana Verdike, warned of action if Hasan continued making such comments. They also threatened that if he keeps talking against Kannada and Karnatakas, they will not allow his films to be screened in Karnataka. Meanwhile, Kamal Hasan is poised to enter the parliament as well. The DMK has set aside one Rajya Sabha seat for the MNM in recognition of its support during the 2024 general election. Hasan's nomination was confirmed today following a resolution passed by the MNM Executive Committee. The DMK Congress Alliance, backed by the MNM, had won all 39 seat Lok Sabha in Tamil Nadu last year. DMK sources say party chief and Tamil Nadu Chief Minister M.K. Stalin had promised Hasan a seat in the upper house in exchange for the alliance support. Hasan launched the MNM in 2018 on what he called a platform of transparency and reform. Despite limited electoral success, he remains a prominent voice in Tamil Nadu politics. Meanwhile, the elections to fill the sixth vacant Rajya Sabha seats from the state are due on June 19th. The Anna University sexual assault accused has been found guilty on all 11 charges for assaulting a 19-year-old student on the Chennai campus after a five-month trial. Biryani vendor by profession, Gyan Sekaran, has been found guilty by a Mahila court. The court is yet to sentence him. The charges included sexual assault, sexual harassment, rape, intimidation, kidnapping, and other provisions under the IT Act. The case had snowballed into a massive political controversy, with AIDMK constantly attacking DMK over alleged protection of the accused. Judge Raj Lakshmi said he must get maximum punishment since he has been convicted on all the charges. The convict, however, pleaded for minimal punishment, stating that he must look after his elderly mother and 8-year-old daughter. In the December incident, Gyanasekharan had first attacked a friend of the teenager and then sexually assaulted her on the university campus. He had also filmed the act, hoping to blackmail her. In the future, he was arrested on December 23rd. Police has seized over 100 sovereigns of gold and a luxury SUV, linking him to multiple house thefts across Chennai. A 100-page charge sheet was filed, and 29 witnesses testified during the trial. The case also raised concerns over the leak of sensitive FIR details, potentially exposing the survivor's identity. Indian law strictly prohibits such disclosure to protect survivors from social stigma. The police attributed the leak to a centrally managed portal which failed to restrict access. An SIT comprising only women officers were formed to investigate both the assault and the data leak. The court also directed the state to provide rupees 25 lakh as interim compensation to the survivor. The incident had triggered a political uproar in the state. The opposition, AIDMK and BJP, criticized the DMK government over women's safety. BJP's K. Annamalai protested by flogging himself publicly, launching a 48-day fast, and sharing photos of the accused with Udayanidhi Stalin, the son of Chief Minister M.K. Stalin. The DMK denied any party links, clarifying the common convict was merely a supporter of the party and not a member, and anyone could be a supporter in the state. The United States government has unveiled a stricter visa screening process for international students, with a focus on enhanced social media scrutiny and tighter compliance checks. The move comes amid ongoing tensions between President Donald Trump's administration and several top U.S. universities, most notably Harvard University. The U.S. State Department has confirmed that embassies have been directed to pause the scheduling of new student visa appointments. The new approach includes increased social media surveillance of visa applicants as part of what the officials describe as a broader effort to protect national security. Everything that Trump has been doing to Harvard recently, including fund cuts, has been done in an attempt to improve national security. Tammy Bruce, spokesperson for the State Department, said, and I'm quoting, "We are going to continue the vet. Whether you're a student or a tourist, we will continue to use every tool we can to assess who is it that's coming here," unquote. She added that goal is to ensure that anyone entering the United States does not pose a threat and is aware of the country's laws. Bruce added, "We want to make sure that people don't have any criminal intent and they are going to be contributors." Under the revised policy, international students could face deportation if they fail to attend classes or drop out of their academic programs. New restrictions also prevent students from overstaying their visa period or taking up unauthorized employment. Applicants are now being warned against posting content on platforms like Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok that could be interpreted as security concern, post flagged as questionable, could impact the visa decision-making process. Earlier reports have suggested that support for Palestine in the ongoing Israel-Palestine war could be a factor in determining if the person is deemed unworthy of the visa. We have seen cases in the recent past where doctoral candidates were accused of being Hamas sympathizers if they showed any support or called for an end to the Israel-Palestine war. Earlier this year, the administration revoked the legal status of thousands of foreign students due to minor offenses, including traffic violations and alcohol-related incidents. Following a wave of legal challenges, many of those students had their statuses reinstated, like a former Jamia University student from India. However, the government has expanded the list of grounds on which a student's visa may now be revoked. The changes mark a significant shift in how student visas are processed and monitored in the U.S. Education officials and student groups are closely watching how these measures will impact international enrollment and campus life. Further updates on the visa procedures are expected in the coming weeks as embassies begin implementing the revised rules globally. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the News with NDTV on Apple, Spotify, and the NDTV News app. This is your host Anviti, signing off.